It is the Omer, and it is that time of year where everybody is getting a million reminder emails and texts and tweets and whatever every hour or two to remember to count. I actually haven't counted yet, but okay, I have to count also. And often becomes a very interesting question about what is the role of women in the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer? What is the role of women in the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer? So the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer is written a couple, three times in the Torah. U'sfartem lachem mimachorat ha-shabbat, miyom ha-viyachem et omer etinufa, sheva shabbatot timot tihena. You have to count for yourselves on the day after you bring the omer, the day after the first day of Pesach, upon which you bring the korban omer and the Beit HaMikdash, and you have to have 7 perfect full weeks. There's lots to say about what all of those points mean. But nonetheless, we have a well-known rule, an axiom in halacha, that women are piturot, women are exempt from all mitzvot aseh she'azvan gerama, all positive, time-bound mitzvot. This is based on a Gemara in Mishnah in Kiddushin, and where the Mishnah lists off a number of examples. I'm just going to share my screen now. Quickly, we'll go through that Mishnah together and get to see the Mishnah a little bit. This is the source sheet that I had sent earlier. Now, Mishnah says right here in Kiddushin and Al-Chavtet, further in the Gemara on Lamed Gimel Lamed Dalet, men are obligated in all mitzvot aseh she'azman gerama, and women, nashim, are piturot. But if it's en azman gerama, the Mishnah continues, they have to do it, and except for a few exceptions. And the Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel gives a list of examples. We'll return to that soon. What about Sefirat HaOmer? Sefirat HaOmer, Sefirat HaOmer is clearly a time-bound mitzvah aseh. The Torah says, "Usfartem lachem imachar haShabbat." You can't get more mitzvah aseh shazman grama than that. It says in the Torah, on this day, you have to start doing this mitzvah. Sounds like to me, like it is a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. In fact, the Rambam tells us in Hilchot Timidim and Musafim. If you have a fun fact, if you're looking for Hilchot Sefirat HaOmer in the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, there is no Sefer Sefirat HaOmer. There is no Hilchot Sefirat HaOmer. There is no Hilchot Omer. Yes, Hilchot Pesach, Hilchot Yom Tov. He doesn't ever speak about the Omer in Sefer Zmanim. He speaks about it in Sefer Korbanot, in Hilchot Timidim and Musafim, where he says, in mitzvah I say the spor sheva shabbatot timimot miyom havad haomer. There's a mitzvah I say from the Torah to count the omer. Shneimar usvartem lachem imachar haShabbat sheva shabbatot 7 weeks. Mitzvah limnot hayamim imashavuot. There's a mitzvah to count the days and the weeks. Shneimar tisviru chamishin yom. Umatchilim hayom umonim lefichach mone v'layla. Okay, fine. You count from the beginning of the day at night. Great. Now, says the Rambam, mitzvah zo, al kol ish Yisrael. Every Jewish person has to do this. V'chol makom v'chol zman. I mistranslated. Jewish person is not true. Jewish male is true. V'nashim v'avadim piturim imen. Women and avadim are not obligated in this mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer. And the Rambam echoes it again in the Sefer HaMitzvot. Mitzvah zo ein hanashim chayavot ba in mitzvah aseh kuf samech aleph. Now, so women are clearly not obligated in the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer, at the very least according to the Rambam. Now, can they still do it? Well, we know that women are allowed to do many mitzvot. They may be piturot from mitzvah aseh shazvan grama like lulav and sukkah, but certainly they may participate and get sachar like an eina mitzvah. And this is what brings us to another important Rambam in Hilchot Sisit, Perikim al-Halachatet. Nashim v'avadim uktanim piturim min ha-Torah. tzitzit is time bound. Women and children, women and kitanim and avadim are not obligated in tzitzit. And then he has a little bit about the katan. And he continues again, nashim va'avadim shiratzu li'tatef tzitzit. If let's say a woman wants to wear a tzitzit, mit'atfim below beracha, the Rambam says, you can never recite a beracha on a mitzvah that you are not obligated in. All mitzvot aseh that are like this. If you want to do it, that a beracha b'chavod. But with the beracha, listen, that's lo tisa, shem Hashem. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name in vain. And to say, asher kiddushanu mitzvotah v'tzivanu. Hashem never told you to do it. These are well-known Torahs about the position of the Rambam regarding women reciting a beracha. And the Ravad, of course, disagrees, based on that very same Gemara in Kiddushin. And there are many Baalei Tosafot in numerous places in Shas who disagree with this Rambam, where they say that no, they can save it Sivanu because the Jewish people are commanded, etc., etc. We're not going to get into that now. Bottom line, when it comes to general mitzvot aseh shasvan grama, sukkah, lulav, shofar, the position of the Rambam is no way with the beracha. Position of the Baalei Tosafot is fine. And it is more or less a machloket between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. So Ashkenazim, women, bechavod, say your berachot and whatever you want. Shulchan Aruch says, no way. Oh, but we know so many Persian and other Sephardi ladies who do recite berachot on lulav and shofar and whatever else it may be. List is not that long. So we have to explain that. And in short, this phenomenon is not a new one. Because first of all, there are many Rishonim who side with the Tosfot. That even post Shulchan Aruch, there are still many communities where women would do this. And that partially comes from a statement of the Chida. The Chida of Yosef Chaim Yosef David Azulai used to be a very big anti-bracha'er. You know, they're anti-vaxxers, they're anti-bracha'ers. He used to be very anti-brachas, the Chida. He said, it's not right. The women shouldn't be doing these, reciting these berachot. Until he found a comment of the Shut Min HaShamayim, Rav Yaakov Min Moroi, who wrote it, Shelot U'Tshuvot, to heaven. And in his dreams, he was answered. And he was told that it's okay. So the Chida said, listen, they can rely on this guy. And they can recite their berachot. And Chacham Avadia is not so happy with that. He thinks that the Chida was just being Melamed Zechut and not advocating for this himself. This is a big machloket whether the Chida was actually pro or anti in the end or not. It's not for now. If one wants to learn further, look in Chelek Aleph of Yabia Omer, Nor HaChaim, Lametet, Mem, and Mem Aleph, where he has like 10 pages of Teshuvah attacking the Chida over this issue. This is the Tower of Dreams. This is a different shir, not for now. But that's the Ikaron. Now, let us assume that we are talking about, we know our shitas, and the question here, of course, so far, really is only, we know that given Sefirat HaOmer is a mitzvah aseh she'azman gerama, women are exempt, and we know there's a machloket. Some say women could recite a beracha should they like to, and others say that they may not, should they like to volunteer to perform this mitzvah. It's a fun thing to do, right? Every single night, you get to do it. So can they or not, with the beracha or not? So I presented this to you as beyond Pashut. The Torah says, on this day, do a mitzvah. What does that mean? It means it's mitzvah aseh she'azman gerama. So obvious to you and me. It's beyond obvious to you and me. The only thing, it wasn't obvious to the Ramban. Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, the Ramban in his Chidushim, on Masechet Kiddushin, on that Gemara, where the Gemara gives us a list of the examples. Excuse me, I'm also suffering from this little cold here that's keeping me home. The Ramban in his Chidushim, Chacham Ezra, just in time for the Lamdis Ezra. Welcome to the Shir. The Ramban in his Chidushim is for some reason so out of nowhere. Seems to think that, not like you and me, I know you and I know that Sefirat HaOmer is a time-bound positive mitzvah. The Ramban says it's not. Join me, look at the Ramban on the screen. He says, "Behave yodeya." He says, "Dehai tana hachitani." And he gives us the list. Ezohi mitzvah daseh shazman grama. What are the time-bound positive mitzvot? Kigon sukkah. Ezohi mitzvah daseh shazman grama. Kigon mezuzah. That's what the examples that we were given. V'tana v'shi'er. He left a few out. In mitzvah daseh shazman grama. In the time-bound ones, shi'er tefillin. He left out tefillin. And we'll skip the reasoning for now. And what else does he have here? And then he also has mora v'kavod bikurim v'chala kisui hadam reishit hagez. Oh, these are mitzvot aseh ena zman grama. Sorry, in the list of ena zman gramas, shi'er tuva. In the non-time bound one, there's many that he left out. Mora, kavod, bikurim, chala, kisui hadam reishit hagez. Matanot and Sefirat HaOmer. Welcome to the most damaging line in the Ramban. How can the Ramban possibly write in his list of non-time bound mitzvot that Sefirat HaOmer is non-time bound? It doesn't get more time bound than this. The Torah says, "Mimachorat HaShabbat, miyom aviyachem el Omer Tenufa." How can it possibly be that the Ramban thought this way? I want to spend some time exploring this fascinating, really, really intriguing position of the Ramban, because it is most enigmatic how a Rishon who is so capable of presenting a synthesis of Shitot with elaboration and further svarot drops a bomb and doesn't explain. It is so bewildering to see this line. Because what does it mean? It means that all women are chayavot in Sefirat HaOmer according to the Ramban, and everybody forgot to tell us. That's crazy. We know the Rambam disagrees. Good. But what about the Ramban and all of his Talmidim? The Rambam was a big yachid. He was a huge, huge, towering figure. But he doesn't have the sheer power of numbers that the Ramban grew in his orchard of Talmidei Chachamim who followed him. The Rashba, the Ritva, Rabbeinu Bechaye, the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, by the way, says like the Rambam. He usually says the Rambans. We have the Ran, the Rivash, the Tashbetz, the Magid Mishneh, the list goes on, and nobody made a peep. At least tell me there's a machloket. This is crazy. It's so crazy that there are half a dozen or more answers to explain why it's true and or not true. And I want to share a few of them with you. We're not going to get through all of the answers. There are more than half a dozen. We'll get through a bunch of them and we'll see where we go. If any of them don't make sense, the chavod always, if we want to ask a question on them, there's lots of questions to ask on these answers also. Feel free to jump in. But we'll start with the most simple. What's the easiest way to obviate a problem?
Maybe it was just a typo?
Typo, chazak uvaruch, the divrei malkiel. And a number of other Acharim Ariel say exactly like you. It was a mistake. Don't give me this whole pompous presentation about bombastic issues in the Ramban. There's no such thing. We made it up. It was a mistake. There was a Samich Ayin in the manuscript, Roshei Tevot. And it said, you know, some other Roshei Tevot, Samich Hei Ayin, whatever it was, Seder HaAvodah, Mashu Kazeh. And the printer, who wanted to do us a favor, opening up the Roshei Tevot, accidentally made it into Sefirat HaOmer. Okay, that's possible. I know everybody is human. I'm not denying that for a second. But it's certainly kind of like, it's not satisfying. not satisfying. And, you know, maybe someone would note that. The fact is, nobody even noted this in the Ramban for a long time. So you have to wonder, when did that typo creep in? If we go look in the old manuscripts of the Ramban on Kiddushin, will we find this problem? That's, I actually did not look at my Rav Hirschler Ramban. Okay, I should go look there. I think I did once. I wrote the notes on this sugya 5 years ago, maybe six. So I'm not saying I don't remember anything about what I'm supposed to say, but it could be I looked in a safer and I forgot whether I looked or not. We have to look in the old manuscripts, but still, we should try to find a better answer.
Does this ever happen? Sorry, Rabbi.
Yeah, please.
I'm just curious. I know I was actually thinking about, you know, the typo. It's kind of the cheap way out, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And you're looking for better. Always say better, say better. But I want to know exactly in the Ramban, how often do we find mistakes, and especially a gigantic mistake like this, which totally begs the question of how Sfirat HaOmer could be a mitzvah aseh, which is not time bound, given the fact that the Torah says that you start counting in Bachorat HaShabbat.
Odpam. One more time. I didn't catch your full point.
My point is basically, Rishonim in general, I mean, as far as the manuscripts go, and, you know, given over, especially Torah Shel Baal Peh, which was given over by orally, not written down. So there's always the human error element.
Right.
But something like this, which totally throws the entire, the halacha behind it up. So many nafkaminot come out of it. You know, number one is that what women would now be obligated to say that. I just want to know, does typos generally happen in the Ramban? Is it something that's a common, do we find that throughout there? And of course, to find something just as big as this.
Oh, very, very. That's much stronger now.
Yeah, because you could only say it's a typo if it's something that happens from time to time. But if it's something that never happened in the Ramban, if the Ramban is so on point and so precise, and we're so mitzvah, and everything in the Ramban is as is, and there was never a mistake, and here by Sfirat HaOmer you have one mistake, then I don't buy it.
Ooh, okay.
But if it's something that happens, because, okay, we always have a girsa change, and we always, even in the Talmud Bavli, it always happens in the Yerushalmi, we just discuss them. It's always being changed.
Right.
It's always right. Editing things. There's always mistakes. And those mistakes turn out to be the exact opposite of what the Gemara meant to say.
Right.
So then I hear that. But to say it's a mistake just to get yourself out of a situation like this, then absolutely not.
I hear you. Wow, Ezra, that was extremely well formulated. Very, very well formulated. You really took that answer to a new level. With your question. So I'm not a scholar of the Ramban. I'm not fluent enough as a scholar of the Ramban to tell you authoritatively. But I can tell you from my experience using Rav Shavel's, you know, the green Ramban al HaTorah and the Kitvei HaRamban and the black, Chidushi HaRamban and the green Chidushi HaRamban, the different editions of the Ramban, there have been many challenges with the manuscripts of the Ramban. Sometimes he quotes the Rishonim or the Lashon of the Gemara, not exactly as we have it, or he has different versions of the Gemara than we have, which is normal. All the Rishonim had slightly different things. The Gemara we have printed on the page, Oz V'Adar, compiled based on whatever the Girsas they had and they decided on. That's a very good point. I can't speak authoritatively, but I think you strengthen the answer a lot, because there are, depending on the Masechet you're in, some manuscripts, for example, Avodah Zarah. We were missing half of the Ramban on Avodah Zarah until like 30 years ago. So we didn't have it. We had it quoted by other Rishonim, but we didn't have the actual manuscript until like 30 years ago. So I'd venture to say, on a case-by-case basis within the Ramban Svarim, you're right. There are Girsa issues, but I don't know about this one. I think that requires further investigation. Yeah, Ariel.
Can you say that there must have been like other places in the Ramban's work that like he mentions Sfirat HaOmer? Can you not infer on the context over there where he mentions it? What he might be talking about?
Truth is, there aren't that many places in Shas that Sefirat Homer comes up. It's a Gemara in Menachot, and it's quoted in the end of the Rif in Pesachim, and it's a few Pesukim in the Torah. And I don't think we get any hint from the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvot or elsewhere, one way or the other. I'm not a Bucky, but from what I learned, that's what I found. I don't, it's a good point. We should do further research, and that might be the place to look. I didn't find enough. Now, just to raise some of the further answers that come up, some say the Divrei Malkiel also has another answer, that Sefirat HaOmer is a preparation, it's a hachana for the korbanot of Shavuot, and women are obligated in those. So the korbanot of the Chag, so they, by extension, they should be obligated in Sefirat HaOmer. Now, that doesn't really answer the question. That's still time bound. So that answer is not so strong. The korbanot are also time bound. So it's a time bound exception. It's not time bound. So we'll leave answer number two on the side for now. The Avni Nezer was a great Hasidic Rebbe who was also a posek in Rosh Hashiva.
Since when are women obligated in korbanos?
I'm wondering the same thing, but this is the way the Divrei Malkiel presents it.
Unbelievable. That has so many questions, that answer.
And the way Rav Schefter quotes it from Rasalvichik is with a slight difference. It's not that they're obligated in the Korbanot, it's that they're obligated in observing the Chag of Shavuot. And they keep the Yom Tov.
Malacha?
Yeah, Malacha. Like any Yom Tov.
That's a Din in Yom Tov, that's not a Din in Shavuot.
Okay, good. So, exactly. Every answer we're bringing so far has challenges. Exactly. Good.
Okay.
Good. I'm not telling you this is the emet just yet.
And even Yom Tov is time bound. Yom Tov only comes around a couple of times a year.
But it's also a lotas.
If you want to say Yom Tov,
it's also a lotas say Yom Tov. It's not just an essay. So at least that we're covered. But that's not really what the Ramban is saying. The Ramban is saying it's not time bound. So how do we show that? The Avnei Nezer thought that it's not time bound because it's a time. Sefirat HaOmer is an interval from the second day of Pesach until Shavuot. It's not that it's a time-bound thing. The thing itself is time. And therefore, that's not called time-bound. It itself is a boundary. So that would be what the Ramban is saying according to the Avnei Nezer. That's really what everybody quotes. They quote this Avnei Nezer, really. But everyone also points out, what's the difference? Time-bound interval, it's very similar. It's hard to make that distinction and not tell me about it. So the Sri De'esh, before I get to the real bottom line answers, the Sri De'esh says a similar idea that the Zman isn't the context of the mitzvah. You know, usually we do a mitzvah in a certain context. That's the Zman. But here, the Zman itself is the mitzvah. The days between Pesach and Shavuot themselves are the mitzvah. Imagine you tried counting the Omer on the 10th of Elul. At best, you did nothing. At worst, you were over on Baal Tosif. So it's not that, and this is the way Rav Asher Weiss says it, the definition of Zman Grama doesn't mean you can only do the mitzvah at this time. It means you could do the mitzvah at any time. You can blow the shofar today or tomorrow. But the Gezirat HaKatuv, the Torah, limits you to doing it at a certain time. You specifically sit in the sukkah on the 15th of Tishri for a week. You specifically shake a lulav on that day. You specifically blow a shofar, which you could do all year round, but you do it on the first day of Tishri. That's called Mitzvah Aseh Shazman Grama. Sefirat HaOmer is not something you can do all year round. You can only do it on these days. That's not called Zman Grama, according to the Ramban, whereas everybody else thinks that it still is. Yes, Ariel.
So then, according to that answer, you could say that tefillin itself isn't Zman Grama either, because you can't put on tefillin all the time throughout the year.
Oh, you can't put on tefillin at night and on Shabbat. So the same Rav Asher Weiss actually deals with tefillin in his exploration, exposition of this topic. I remember paying attention to it, but I didn't pay enough attention to be able to share with you what he said. But he asks your question and he brings a proof actually from there that he's right. From the way that the Ramban positions it and the Magid Mishnah presents it, something about that, he thinks it's still a proof. Because even if you hold Laila is not Zman Tefillin, you can still hold it's not Zman Grama. Something like that. It's Machloket. He says there is a Shita out there that fits the bill to be only by Yom, not by Laila, and still called not Zman Grama. And therefore, you see Tefillin is not related to that exactly. But not for now. I think right on target, though. Kol HaKavod, Mamash, right on target. There is also a famous opinion of the Ritva that we know Ha'osek ba-mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Someone who's engaged actively in performing a mitzvah is not obligated in further mitzvot. So the Ritva says that's why women are not obligated in time-bound mitzvot asay, because they have to take care of their families, their husbands, their children. If they were stopping every 5 seconds to do a mitzvot asay shazman grama, then they would never be able to take care of their children properly. That's why they're piturot. But for the same logic, explains Rav Moshe Malka, who wrote the Sefer Mikveh HaMayim, who's a great Moroccan Gaon, and the Rav of Elad. Rav Moshe Malka says in Mikveh HaMayim that's for mitzvot that are actually an action. But Sefirat HaOmer, you can do while you're cooking dinner. So in that case, it's not a mitzvot asei shazman grama anymore. Because it's really, or that's not really true. He's saying it is a zman grama, but it's an exception because it's not really an action. Okay, so that doesn't really fit the Ramban so well. But it's still another example. Now, what's the emet? Who am I to tell you what the emet is? But a student of the Ramban can. The Ramban had a student, the Rashba, and he had a student, the Rav Moshe Chalava, Maharam Chalava. He has a sefer on Masechet Pesachim, as well as his son has a sefer on the Torah and Masechet Bava Kama, and a couple of places in those svarim, Maharam Chalava is quoted as saying Zman Grama means that the time causes you to be chayav in the mitzvah. The 16th of Nisan is what causes you to do the mitzvah. But it's not true. Here, mi machor haShabbat. Yeah, but read the rest of the pasuk. Miyom haviyachem et omer tenufa. From the day that you bring the korban haomer. It's not that the zman causes it. The zman causes bringing the korban. Bringing the korban is what causes svirat haomer. It's like on Shabbat, you have to have a meal with bread. And when you have a meal with bread, you have to bench Birkat HaMazon. Would you tell me Birkat HaMazon is Zman Grama? Women are Pituro? No, of course not. You did an action and it precipitates a Chiyuv. Yeah, the action of eating is Chayav, because you're Chayav in because of the Zman. But the action you did, and that action is Gorem, it precipitates an obligation of a mitzvah. That's not called Zman Grama. And that's what the Ramban was saying. That approach is adopted by a dozen acharonim, Rabbi Rucham Fishel Perlau, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Tzitzel Yezer, Piskei Tshuvot, Chacham and Sion. And what about all the other Rishonim? What does the Rambam and all the other Rishonim say? They say that only works if you hold that Sefirat HaOmer nowadays is Midrabanan. It's only Deoraita if you have a Korban HaOmer. And then that's great, because it's dependent upon Sefirat Korban HaOmer. But if you hold that it's an independent chiyuv, deoraita, even nowadays without a korban haomer, like the Rambam does, according to many, then women are piturot anyway, because it's still going to be time bound. I can't go a shiur where this is where Rav Warman talks about something and not quote him. Rav Shlomo Warman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Hank, the Metivta of the Nassau County, writes in his Sefer Orot HaPesach a very similar svarot as the Maharam Chalava, except he thinks it's a little bit different. He says, he didn't have this Maharam Chalava, but he didn't quote it. He and many others are Mechaven on their own to the Maharam Chalava, who was telling us what the Ramban said, basically. And he said that it's the natural growth of the crop that we bring as the Omer, right? Mehachel chermesh v'kama, as it says in Kol HaVechor, that when the crop is upright and standing, that's when you have to bring the Korban HaOmer. And that's when it's ready to be brought as Korban HaOmer. So that's the precipitator. Okay, so he just moves a step back in the process, but it's more or less the same thing. That was a survey of this very enigmatic Ramban. And now we know a few examples, whether it be the time not being really time or not, intervals or not, or something along the lines of what's the definition of Mitzvah Aseh Shazvan Grama, or specifically by Sefirat HaOmer, it's dependence or independence on or from the Korban HaOmer. Now, in the last 5 minutes, Halakha L'maaseh, it's not really going to do justice, but Halakha L'maaseh in the past 5 minutes, Ashkenazim, you know, the Chaura could recite a Beracha. In fact, the Magen Avraham says that Kvar Shavdu Alayu Chova, the women already have accepted the Mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer upon themselves as an obligation. Nevertheless, Mishnah Berurah says that's not the minhag in his country, and in fact, he quotes some who say that it, because women aren't going to shul and going, being reminded all the time, they might miss a day, and they might end up reciting berachot levatala. So it's better that they not ruin temimot, they not risk berachot levatalot, and never count with the beracha. Additionally, they don't always understand the words that they're saying, so it might not be such a great benefit. To which Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach says, okay, but nowadays girls in school are taught. They know, and they're taught to count. And they'll probably remember better than all the men. Not every man davens with the minyan every night. And there's a chance you'll forget. What, you'll tell them not to count to the bracha? Of course not. So the women also should count to the bracha. Rav Nevinsal says similar points. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, nowadays, women have reminders on the fridge. Kol Shekin, we have all the million texts and email, whatever reminders that we have. But still, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's wife did not count to the bracha. Okay, that's Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim should ask the rabbi, but that's a 1 minute summary of what they do. What about for Sfaradim? I already told you, the Chida says that women could recite a bracha on Mitzvah Shazman Grama. And he says, in fact, you should be consistent. If you say a bracha on Lulav, say a bracha on Sefirat HaOmer. If you don't say a bracha on Lulav, don't say a bracha on Sefirat HaOmer. Seems pretty pashut. But the truth is, and the Ben Ish Chai says like the Chida in one place as well. But, the Ben Ish Chai and Rav Pe'alim in two places, Chelek Aleph and Chelek Gimel, he says that there are certain mitzvot aseh shazman grama like sisit, tefillin, and omer that al pi kabbalah a woman should never perform. It's just not right for her al pi kabbalah to get involved. She should never do it. And even though he kind of contradicts himself to Sefer Ben Ish Chai and Sefer Mikat Tziel, there is half of the Ben Ish Chai say one way to do it. The other half of the Ben Ish Chai say, and half of them say with a beracha, and half of them say don't even do the mitzvah. Extreme to extreme. For the Ben Ish Chai, those who follow the Ben Ish Chai should ask their local Orthodox rabbi who follows the Ben Ish Chai what to do. Chacham Avadia doesn't care about the Kabbalah. He says they want to count the bracha, bechavod, it's fine. And Rav Chaim David Halevi in Aselech Harav Chelik Bet, we spoke about him last week, he says that even though I think, you know, you should keep all your minhagim, especially if you used to be one way and you married and got, you became the other minhag, he says, listen, the Zohar says it's asur. The Ashkenazi, Zohar doesn't say it's asur. Zohar is kind of saying piturot. Ashkenazim are fine with it. But nowadays, even Ashkenazim don't always do it. So why, if they don't always do it, why are you going to be more excited about saying a bracha than the Ashkenazim themselves will? When they're the ones who are the big mekilim on a beracha. Therefore, he says it's better. It's better. He's not emphatically against it, but he says better don't recite a beracha. In closing, Rabbi Shalayach Tzibor, to the best of my knowledge, is a lover of the Ben Ish Chai, follower of the Ben Ish Chai, and I asked him what he thinks the halakha should be, and he says the minhag is that the women do not count at all. That is the more extreme position of the Ben Ish Chai. I asked Rabbi Shub, and he said that, listen, we're not on the kubalim nowadays. The girls come home from school, they all want to recite the beracha, that's what they learned in school, and we're going to tell them not to. At least... Tell that they'll do the mitzvah. You know, even if they're not going to recite the beracha. This is the only mitzvah some people have. And he told me, in fact, in Iran, the women used to tell their husbands to not recite the beracha and count in shul. They used to tell their husbands, come home and count for me with the beracha so I can say amen.
That's what we do. That's what
exactly.
We do.
Exactly. I do it now also. Baruch Hashem, I was actually in a shul on Chol HaMoed and with Nathan Payman in Roslyn, and I wasn't going to leave after Arvit. But then I saw him leaving with his father, so I also walked out while the shul was counting, Ashkenazi shul was counting Sefira. So I told him as I walked out, I wasn't going to walk out. Once you guys did, I also did. And I said, I'm going home to count for my wife. That's why I wasn't counting with them. And they said, we are too. We are too. His father is going to count for his wife. Okay, Baruch his mother. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so that's what we did in Iran. And that's what I think it's kedai to do. Chacham Ben Tzion didn't take that approach. He said, no beracha. Better not to count at all. And the Moroccans seem to follow the chida on this. But more or less, Baruch Hashem, we learned tonight about mitzvot aseh shehazman grama for women in general, by Sefirat HaOmer, the enigmatic position of the Ramban, and all of the terutzim, including that of the Maharam Chalawa, that it's the hakrava of the Korban HaOmer that causes the mitzvah. And we surveyed the Ashkenazi and Sephardi positions about reciting the Beracha. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen v'amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Looking forward to next week. Thank you.